Natural Resources Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This is Tuesday, March 22nd, 2005, and we're in the second day of our mega prioritization run that we're taking this week. And we have three agencies that we're going to work on today. And what I'll do is open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5518, which is the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And if the department would like to come forward and just be here as resources, Director Shetterly has also indicated to us that he has an update on the progress of the Measure 37 effort within the agency, and I asked him if he would update us on that after we had finished the prioritization, if he's still speaking to us.
Number 9.
So we are on page 9 of the prioritization list. And what I did here was to do my high, medium, and low. So in order to start the discussion off, what I did was ranked Program 4, Transportation Growth Management, Program 6, which was the Coastal Zone Management Grants, Program 7, which was the Economic Development Grants, and Program 8, which were the General Fund Grants, as my high priorities. And I'll just throw that out there to begin the discussion.
I just sat down.
Madam Chair.
We have a data challenge member here.
Yeah. I sat last night, did all these, and the DHS, the big one, is they're all missing. So we're a little tense today. Okay.
It's
been a long day.
Senator Shields has indicated that he won't be able to attend.
He just called me. He's on his way down. First of all, it should take care of, but he's on his way back. You know, so he'll be here in about half an hour.
See, on page 9.
And what I've done is, in my rankings, I've proposed for high ranking Program 4, Program 6, Program 7, and Program 8. And my justification for doing that was that these were the pieces of the program that the local jurisdictions have a need in order to have the programs work, and that we needed to, from the economic development perspective, push these parts of the program forward so that the economic development piece of this was in the forefront.
Madam Chair, I ranked 1 through 8 as being higher priorities for the agency. I would suggest and agree with some of your changes in terms of the ranking, in terms of emphasis, for a variety of reasons. 9 through 13 I ranked as medium, with 14 and 15 as being lower in terms of priorities.
Okay.
I do agree with you,
and
especially
what was the rationale for your ranking?
Number 4 specifically is transportation grants. As you know, we're engaged in a $2.5 billion 9-year process now to rebuild roads and bridges, and I am quite confident that the agency is going to have to expend time in helping Transportation Department through some of those issues.
Okay, so we agree that that's a high priority.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, do other members of the committee agree that that's a high priority? Okay.
And certainly regional representatives support, planning specialists support. Those are not only, they have the largest numbers of general fund, with the exception of the director's office. And certainly the largest numbers of positions in FTE within the department. And its obvious impact, those go along with the economic development grants. I do, frankly, agree with you. I do rant the economic development portions, rank it a little bit higher, because I think that, again, in this time, this is sort of, I'm sort of, again, looking in the two-year time frame, that we're coming out of a recession and we're going to need to continue focusing all of our efforts as a state and certainly this agency towards economic development. So in the short term, I rank them higher than where they are today, but I would say that they probably go hand in hand with regional support and planning specialists, because all of that is part of the overall package of helping economic development grants move forward, is to have the expertise of the agency at the same time.
Well, I would submit that the regional staff and the central office staff are part of that, but I think that it is more important for the grants to go out to the local jurisdictions so that they can do the actual on-the-ground work that needs to be done, and that the regional representatives and the central office folks should be in a more supportive role to the local jurisdictions.
And I would share that, and Madam Speaker. I think you're basically articulating what I, or
is a new vote?
Madam Chair. Madam Chair, my apologies. Maybe I should make an apology, but I wouldn't disagree with that. I would agree with you that we ought to move those to a much higher level, and I'm certainly amenable.
Okay, so if we take 6, 7, and 8. Is there agreement that those should be high priority, or is there anybody that has a heartburn with that?
Madam Chair, is Madam Chair correct?
I
Senator Shields, well, I'm sure will support me on this. I really don't have strong feelings about this particular agency, and if you feel more comfortable moving those up, I feel fine. In all these discussions, I do want to make the point, though, that if it comes to a point of cutting agencies' budgets, and it may well in some cases, that I would not rely solely on the priority list as how we do. We're not going to draw a line from my point of view at the bottom of the line. Anything below it's off it, anything above it's on it. We would be selective, and rather I'll caution you to be very surgical in making those decisions. Obviously, we don't want to destroy a program inside an agency by eliminating it. We want to keep the framework of most of those programs going, or there might be a program we do want to end. But I just want to make the point that in this particular budget, I'm comfortable with what you're doing, and that we don't look at priority listing as the way that we cut budgets if we need to get there sometime.
And I think that your point is very important and very well taken, Senator Bates. I think when this becomes more real in the second phase and we actually have a number to budget to and we can see where the line is going to be drawn, then the conversation around this is going to be much more pointed. And I think we're going to have to be very deliberative and very strategic at that point. This is just the first cut.
I agree. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I was just curious if the good senator was, since we're talking about cutting, are you going to stitch them back together after you cut them up?
And to the absent Senator Shields.
There are sometimes you have to leave the wounds open to heal from within.
To bleed a bit? Are we back to the Dark Ages?
Yeah, close.
Bloodletting!
Leeches before we're through, right? And everyone knows there's plenty of leeches out there, so we're okay.
Whoa, that one should be on the signing die tape.
I'm sure it will be, amongst other faux pas committed by myself.
Okay, moving right along here.
Now, Madam Chair, did you want us to reach consensus in terms of actually ranking?
Yeah, that would be my next phase that I would go to. And what I would submit, I gave number 7 the number 1 position, number 6 the number 2 position, number 8 the number 3 position, and number 4 the number 4 position.
And then you would rank regional representatives as number 5.
Well, then I think what we do is go into the ones that we give M's to and rank those after we finish
with the
questions. So does anybody have any heartburn with doing that? Okay. So mediums.
I had a question, Madam Chair, in regards to a question for the director. Director's office has $2,059,000. Is all of that funding dedicated to the eight positions within the office? Some of that funding passed through or so forth?
No, thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Clark. That is all in the director's office. There's no pass-through funding there.
And just for posterity, to professional staff, my mathematics lead me to about $257,442 per employee for the biennium. Does that sound about right?
Not in my checking account, it doesn't. Ted, do you want to come up? Okay, we'll get back to you on that, obviously.
Okay, it can be a phase two discussion.
And I would flag, too, I know there are elements in there for the director's office also supports the commission, and so there are elements of commission support in that as well. Because the commission doesn't have any staff itself.
I was just looking at Director Hannes's neck brace.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Very stylish.
Hard process.
Okay.
Moving right along here. What I put for medium priorities were program 1, 2, 5, 9, and 10. Being since those were the landowner notification stuff is pretty much just has to be in there because of the initiative that was passed. And then I thought that Representative Krupp's points about the importance of having the staffing to support the local jurisdictions in place was basically what made me put these as medium priorities. I gave mediums to 1, 2, 9, and 10. Oh, wait a minute. And also to 5. 1, 2, 5, 9, and 10. The FEMA program, I gave. Is anybody getting heartburn at this point? It's not the chicken catch tournament.
Besides me?
Yeah, I was just saying.
You don't count today.
You will get a chance, Mr. Director, later on in the process to push back on that.
I do have further information relative to Representative Krupp's question, if you want that. That $2 million that shows on the priority includes the policy option package 103, which is the 30-year review of roughly $1 million. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
That reflects three positions and other services that are not currently part of the program.
Actually, Madam Chair, I appreciate that clarification. That makes perfect sense. I didn't think you were
no.
Your staff was that well paid. In fact, I was going to think about resigning from the legislature and asking you for a job. Just kidding.
Don't do one before you do the other.
Okay, moving along here.
Yeah.
If no one has anything other than these that they want to have medium classifications for, let's go ahead and rank them. And at the risk of running this whole thing myself, what I've got is the regional representatives, which is the first priority on here. I've given that a 5. 6 on the planning specialists and support, which is program 2. 7th on FEMA. 8th on landowner notification. And 9th on landowner reimbursement. So basically just kept them in the same order that they're on the sheet.
Okay, so 7 and 8 are 9 and 10 then?
Right.
No.
Yeah, no. 9 and 10 are 8 and 9.
8 and 9. Okay, where's number 7?
Is
number 7 number 3, Oregon Coastal, or is that?
7 is 5.
7 is 5.
Number 5
okay.
Now, it becomes number 7.
Okay.
Okay, so that leaves us with the Lowe's as number 3, number 11, number 12, number 13, number 14, and number 15.
And Madam Chair, why do you rank information technology at a medium?
I ranked it as a low.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I had thought previously you had, but my apologies. I did not understand. I also ranked it as low as same with communications.
And I would, the ranking that I would give those is number 11 ends up being number 10. Number 12 is number 11. Number 13 is number 12. Number 14 is number 13. Number 3 is number 14. And number 15 stays as the last priority.
Okay.
Anybody have any discussion around that?
I have a question, actually, of the director. Wayne, obviously, director's office of business service ends up pretty low on totem pole here. Can you just, what would happen if you lost someone out of those two?
Thank you, Mr. and Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler. The director's office and business services? Well, I guess that kind of goes to the integral relationship, really, of all of these. We're skinny in business services, and we're not flush in the director's office, especially if you take away the 103. It just means, I guess, less support and service to the department, which plays out in support and service to our local government partners. I mean, that's ultimately what I think where the rubber hits the road. It boils down to our ability to provide service to local governments, primarily, where that's going to be felt.
Which ones are you talking about? 7 and 8 on the way this is done.
Director's office and the business services.
Well, and one thing that should be considered here is that with the ranking that's on the table right now, those actually move up one step.
Right. Well, I just need to know because there's a big chunk of money there.
Madam Chair, it is true that in your ranking there, relative to most of the programs, is consistent with where we put those, simply recognizing, although in different order than you have them ranked here, that service to local governments through technical assistance, that's the regional staff and specialists, and also through grants, is really the crux and the core of what the program is, and the rest of that supports those services and is necessary to them, but I wouldn't start off that as the primary focus of what we do.
Let me just explain. I mean, 15, 14, and 13 are not, there's only $188 in number 14 of general fund, so, and then if we go to 13 and 15, there's really not, if we totally eliminated those two, 13 and 15, what would, if we took all the general fund out of 13 and 15, what would happen?
Somebody else would have to write the payroll checks.
Yeah, so hence, if we're working our way up the ladder here.
How do we raise that
money? Brings me to 12 and 11. That's why I asked about those two specific
items.
Just a quick thing on information technology. I don't know anything how they are, but it seems to be one of the other agencies that came, I think it was Water Resource Department. Basically, if it wasn't for the information technology, because of the information technology, they were actually accomplishing a lot more. And I don't know whether they're able to do things online or whether that's or what it all amounts to. So I don't know whether that's a part of it. I just have that in the back of my mind sometimes. And I know some people don't like information technology.
Madam Chair, I'm not suggesting we cut Lane's budget, but if we're going to talk about where we're going to get money or take money, move money around, why not ask the awkward question?
Well, and we need a place to push off from, and that's what this is all about.
Hope I'm not getting myself in trouble.
No, I don't think you are.
Okay. Wouldn't be the first time.
So, do you want to...
Well, I don't want to. I would need more information before I do that. was just thinking about another agency that I had kind of maybe in phase two as we get into this thing. I don't know, does information technology take the place of two people, or does it cost more people? I don't know.
So you would like to see information technology move up and stay within the low range?
Well, I just like with more information, but I just think that's a question we have to ask.
Well, we could go into that in phase two, too.
I think we need to kind of take
this package apart and see.
And I want to check a little bit more in my. I just have this thing in the back of my mind, and I got it from my local water resource guy, who was saying if we didn't have our technology component, we wouldn't be getting any.
Yeah, water resources has done some pretty amazing things with their technology piece.
Yeah. So it may not apply to this group.
Okay.
I just need to ask some more questions.
I'm sure the director's got that in his long-term mind. Okay. Any more discussion? Can we be done with this one?
Yeah.
I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5518. And thank the director for this time.
Yep.
Oh, and ask him for the update on Measure 57.
Sure, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. What instigated this little interlude was just my mention to the chair that you will be receiving today or perhaps tomorrow from me another in our series of memoranda updating you on the status of Measure 37 claims in the department. In rough terms, we are at about 181 claims that we're processing right now. In the department, we have about another 50 that we've received and are just now putting through the intake process, with about another 30 or so at the Department of Administrative Services. Rough numbers.
We have another 11 or so that we've received
today. We've got about 8 staff people now devoted, 3 full-time and 5 others substantial and a growing share of their time. This week we probably will be extending Measure 37 responsibility to more staff as well in order to manage that workload. As you know, they all have to be resolved within 180 days, and so we are in some sense cannibalizing the other aspects of the program because these take these high priorities, and if we fail to resolve these Measure 37 claims, then that leaves the state subject to civil liability for compensation plus attorney fees and costs. So it's a very high priority, but something we'll need to talk about in phase two, how to maintain that and still meet the other ongoing statutory and legislative priorities for the department to keep this thing moving forward. It's going to be a challenge.
Representative Shaw,
thank you.
Question.
There's a whole bunch of land use legislation before us. Do you get the sense that there are there's a large group of folks that are sitting waiting to see what happens, and if nothing happens in this session, that you'll see an increase or a flood of claims? Do you get the sense that people are sitting back maybe waiting to see what we do or not?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, that's certainly a suspicion that you've got folks who have claims but are waiting until they know for sure what the rules of the game are. And they may be waiting for legislative action. Some may be waiting for judicial clarification of some of these issues. And that's only a speculation on my part. Nobody has told me that, and we don't really have any way to measure that or quantify it. But that's anecdotally you hear that. There are folks who say, well, I've got clients or I know folks who have a claim, but they're waiting to see if the lay of the land changes during the session.
Senator Nelson.
You made a projection, I think, earlier about 900 to 1,000 claims. Is that what you're anticipating processing, or do you have any basis for that, or is that speculation?
Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, I think that was at that point contemplating what we believe were the claims out in the counties at that point coming into us. I think if you're talking about a biennial number, it's going to be well more than that. That was a snapshot in time, including claims out in counties as well as claims as in DAS. But assuming that we go forward on the volume for a period of time here that we are experiencing now, on a biennial basis, it'll be will exceed that.
I would expect, committee, that as we move into the phase two discussions and really get into the budget issues, that Vision 37 is going to be a big part of the discussion with this agency. There's, I think, a definite issue around capacity here that we've got to take a really close look at. So I would I think that we will be looking for information on how well these claims are progressing through the process and if where they're getting hung up and not flowing through as well as they should. Because I think with the clear time requirement that's in the measure, that we have a responsibility here to make that work, and that's all on your shoulders.
Yeah. So, yeah, Madam Chair. If it comes down to where I'm doing Measure 37 claims, well, I'll be doing Measure 37 claims because we have that. That is a hard and fast obligation that carries legal liability with it, and we're very cognizant of that.
So we'll definitely be looking for guidance and information to the agency about how we can best put together the most streamlined program, but one that will fit the size of the flow of claims.
Madam Chair?
Senator?
Just a question.
Yeah?
Many of us saw ballot measure 37 as a full employment act for lawyers, but hopefully it's not going to work out that way. Are you starting to see sort of a common threads as far as what you're seeing coming in front of you so you can be more efficient in handling the claims, certain types of claims you're seeing, you know, where the definitions make more sense? This is something that is concerning what a relative is. This is something concerning about when did this come into the fold. This is a single-family dwelling issue. Are you seeing things that are going to make you more efficient, or are you just being hit with so many different aspects of 37 that you're still trying to sort of sort out what you're trying to do when you're dealing with them?
It's a good question, Madam Senator Bates. We are beginning to see some common issues coming through with claims, although I'll tell you, we are early enough on the intake at this point that everything is new. But right now, early on, we are seeing, if you were to identify, let's say, a category of issues, ownership, for instance, being very common in claims. Unfortunately, they're not all answered the same way. You've got just literally a dozen or more permutations of how ownership can come up in the context of a claim and how that can be resolved. At this point, as new as we are in the process, there's a lot of time spent give and take between the department and the Department of Justice in interpreting these. As we get guidance on those will flow faster because we'll be applying advice from the first series of claims to the next series of claims. And something else we've done, it's pretty low tech, get back to information technology, but if you come up to the department, I would be glad to show you about a 20-foot piece of butcher paper on one wall that is a timeline of when various rules and goals became applicable, and we've got folks, again, back to the high tech with post-it notes, will identify by name a claim on that timeline. And so the idea being that since certain claims will have certain common issues depending on when in time the ownership accrued, the next time, if we've got a claim up on that butcher paper that shows this is a claim that came in 1978. That claim is moved through the process. Next time we get a claim from 78, the person who's got that claim can go look on the butcher paper and see the post-it note and identify that claim and refer back to that file for at least the beginning of an analysis of what may be common issues there. So we're finding ways to streamline our process, although it's very labor-intensive now because it's all new, all brand new.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. I do see that as probably the major issue that that your agency has to deal with. Well, we'll be back to
thank
talk
you.
More
so
about
will
this.
We.
Thank you, sir, for your time. Appreciate this. Can I close the public hearing? Here. Okay, I'm going to open the public hearing on House Bill 5045, which is the Department of State Lands. And this puts us on page 11 of our paper file. Well, Director Hannes, that's what a director's supposed to look like at the end of
the session. I was rear-ended by a drunk driver.
Really? How's your daughter?
She's doing okay. She was bruised, but she's doing fine. I'm just glad we walked out of it.
It sounded like it was quite serious.
It was, yeah. We were accordion between a semi-truck and a woman who was drunk.
And, Madam Chair, if I may, where was this?
This was on South Commercial here in Salem. We were stopped at a traffic light, and she barreled into us at about 40 to 50 miles an hour. So, yeah.
And, Madam Chair, if I may just, has this person ever been arrested for drunk driving before, do you know?
Representative Krupp, I don't know. I know she was charged, and she's going to be arraigned in municipal court on Tuesday. She had a .22.
And what time of day?
7 o'clock at night. Yep.
That's right up there.
I think okay. I'm going to join other state's drunk drivers.
106 three times.
Might be a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, with that, we should get you to check in so that we have your name on the record for accident information.
For the record, my name is Ann Hannes, Director, Department of State Land.
Thank you very much. Well, we wish you and your daughter a speedy recovery.
Thank you.
Okay, we have the agency ranking for the Division of State Lands, and these are very broad categories, so this one should not be, I think, too complicated, but there's a lot within each of these categories. Again, just to get the conversation going, the high priority things in my ranking were the first program, the Common School Fund, and the Oregon Wetland Revolving Fund. And my justification for that was that the Common School Fund is obviously what the one of the things that probably the primary thing that the agency is charged with overseeing, and that it's really critical to helping offset the cost of the K-12 system. And that the Oregon Wetland Revolving Fund was something that was really important to economic development with all the wetlands issues that we have all over the state, that this was a good way for people to resolve those issues in a positive way. So I rank the Common School Fund as one and the Revolving Fund as two.
Madam Chair? I also moved Oregon Wetland Revolving Fund up for the same reason. We've run into serious problems in Southern Oregon in dealing with wetland mitigation, and this department's been very helpful at times in helping us deal with along with DEQ. I did put it below capital improvements simply because I wasn't sure how why that was in action. Actually, I have a question why those two were even broken out. I got to think about it later, but I was a little concerned that inside the Common School Fund, we didn't break some of that out. We've got a lot of different things in that very large, massive category. And it just came to my mind after all the discussions we've had and all the work we've done of how you manage a forest and how you deal with putting money into a fund and watching it grow or not grow. And the history of it, we didn't have a little more discussion about that as far as prioritizing it. But if this is adequate from your point of view, it's okay with me, but I'd like to see number one broken out a bit. But I also moved up to Oregon wetland mitigation.
Sorry. Can I just note that on the page it says prioritized list and 10% reductions behind tab 3. There were bullets under number one, and it's in order of those bullets are our priorities, the top priorities within the Common School Fund program. Yes. And so we put the Constitution and statutory land management is number one within the Common School Fund program, estates administration number two. Those top two are because of the constitutional requirements for those two areas. Three, unclaimed property. Four, removal fill. And five, wetlands technical assistance.
Well, and I think from my perspective, within these, I recognize that you have the constitutional mandates to manage the other pieces of this, and that is a high priority, undoubtedly. But the removal fill permitting and enforcement and the wetlands technical assistance piece of this has a huge priority in the economic development arena, and I think that that shouldn't be lost in the discussion here. This is so simple in terms of these large categories. Is there agreement that the common school fund should be the highest priority?
Yes.
And then within that, the recognizing that there are these constitutional mandates, but also recognizing the huge economic development implications of the wetlands issues and flow removal issues. And then the second one, I hear Representative Bates wanting to go to capital improvement second rather than the Oregon Wetland Revolving Fund. Can I get some more input from the committee members on that?
Well, Madam Chair, it does support, and if you read the narrative for the criteria on page 12. Point number two is that capital improvements, the agency places a priority, second priority, because it supports the land management and protection of common school fund lands. And that seems pretty logical. I think that probably ought to be...
So you support keeping it as two?
Yeah. I would support moving the Wetlands Revolving Fund up to number three, simply because it is, I think, again, in the focus in the next couple of years needs to be on economic development. And wetlands are a huge piece of that puzzle in this state. So I would support doing that. And then I'm okay with leaving South SLU as number four in National Heritage.
Comments? Everybody okay with that one?
Yeah.
That was fast.
Just as an aside, Madam Chair, I always thought it's kind of strange that the Department of State Lands handles unclaimed property for the Common School Fund. I think the Treasurer is floating a bill to take it from your department, take it over directly, and then put the money in the Common School Fund. And while I have you here, do you have any particular comment about that? I mean, it seems like a logical thing for me to get you out of that business. These are safe deposit boxes and things of that nature, and it seems like the Treasurer should do that, but I'd like to hear their opinion on it real quickly, if I could.
Chair Morgan, Senator Bates, the link to the Department of State Lands was the Common School Fund. The unclaimed property goes into the Common School Fund, and until we find the rightful owners, the investment earnings off of that are distributed to schools. About 30 different states around the country have unclaimed property within the Treasurer's office, and we thought strategically that some of the major issues regarding unclaimed property are becoming more national in scope. And thus the Treasurer could play a strong role in that through the NAS, through the National Association of State Treasurers.
Bottom line then being, you're not opposed to that. You think, I mean, it seemed appropriate to me. I just wonder what your feelings are on the bill.
No, you're correct. That's one that is supported by the Land Board, and we support.
Thank you.
Senator Reynolds?
It just seems with all these things that something we didn't talk about with a lot of the committees, we did with Director Sutterby a lot, was the culture of the agencies. And I mean, this is a perfect example. I mean, the agency has put four down here for economic development, the wetlands, but this committee is saying, you know, that's got to be a higher priority. And as part of this phase two discussion, is that, I mean, it's in some respects a policy decision. Are we going to be forcing that? I mean, because that's what we're talking about in other subcommittees is, you know, how do you get the most bang for the buck? The most important thing is economic development because that pays taxes, that pays for public services. And are we trying to force a culture change within within these committees?
Well,
these agencies?
I think that's the real interesting part about this new budget process that we have, that we have the opportunity as the representatives of the people to rank the agency's programs in terms of what we think produces the best results for the state of Oregon. And so I've heard through the discussions that we've had over these last 2 days that all the agencies that we've talked about, that economic development issues have floated to the top in all of them. So I would think that that is going to be one of the things that we're going to be kind of honing in on and looking at the programs within the agencies that do enhance economic development and the ones that appear to do the best job, ranking those at a higher level. And that I think that that's going to be a part of what happens in phase two of the process, that that's going to become what a lot of this ends up being about. Any more comments? Then I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 5045 and open a public hearing on House Bill 5026, which is the Department of Environmental Quality. Thank you. Take it easy. It's back up in our books.
Case number six.
And we have the director here.
Madam Speaker, may I?
Yes.
I left the first page pretty much as is. In terms of the ranking, I did place a high value on all six of those. Currently, program number one, the incineration of chemical weapons, I think from a public safety perspective, is extraordinarily high. It will obviously change once that process is complete, but for now it is. We're under an agreement to do that. We really have no choice. And secondly, the second piece of that, number two, is the emergency response. Again, public safety. We are in the age of terrorism. The agency's ability to help respond on those issues is critical. Number three, TMDLs, number three is water quality, groundwater drinking, and water protection. Again, in my mind, that is a public safety issue, and it really segues into the next three, TMDLs, which, of course, we have to do, and then down to water quality standards. You could probably mix and match any of those. They're all important, and one, frankly, complements the others. I went on the second page, water quality permitting.
I actually agree with you.
Right, the time.
Wow!
Mark that date and time.
Are there any, anybody have any input on the first page in terms of changing the listing?
I got no problem with that at all.
Okay, I think that the first page makes good sense. So let's just call that a deal and get that on there. And then go ahead on the second page, Mr. Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also rank DEQ water quality permitting and certifications because this is obviously in terms of economic developments and for the ability to continue with the discharges we have currently from sewage treatment and industrial facilities is very important for our state. And again, this is for point source. And I think this is very, very important. It also has a significant amount of general fund and a significant number of employees within the department. I moved down from there to hazardous waste and frankly was not sure where to rank that, either medium or high. You know, obviously toxics and what comes from our medical facilities and so forth are very important. We'd probably stay with a high ranking. Air quality permits are very, very important, obviously. And I decided I dropped down to number 12 and moved number 12 up underneath air quality permits just because vehicles are the number one source of air pollution in the state of Oregon. And I felt that, frankly, that was a nice
complement in terms of ranking within the agency, air, issuing number 9 air quality permits and then air quality vehicle inspection program. Even though that's ramping down, it is still important and still ranks as the number one source of air pollution. And then DEQ hazardous materials in underground tanks, that continues to be a problem. It is getting better. And I'm ambivalent about leaving it there. I would possibly suggest moving number 16 from the next page, DEQ land quality cleanup, up to number 11 or into number 12, just because environmental cleanup is also one of the economic issues we have to deal with. If you look at brownfields, if you look at some of our old mill sites and the ability to clean them up and make them viable industrial sites for other types of industries, I felt that was very important. There's also a significant number of people that are involved in that. And also there's this one particular cleanup in Portland, the Baxter and McCormick and Baxter cleanup area. There's a significant piece of that, at least over the next 2 or 3 years. And those are kind of the reasons I chose to move number 16 up ahead of where it is. Okay. And then I kind of ranked 13 and 14. Maybe left them where they are as medium. Runoff is a big deal in Portland, obviously.
I kind of had a different take on this. I separated out next. I mean, I did the first page as kind of looking again down here on the at the back, the criteria that the agency used. What I did was the fourth bullet point down, programs that provide incentives and support for economic growth. The ones that I thought were in that category, I wanted to move those up. And the ones I identified there, and this may not be in by any means a complete list, but I took 7, 8, 9, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 as being the ones that I thought were the economic development ones. And what I did was to just leave 7, 8, and 9 there, and then to move 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 up after 9, and then move the rest of them down.
You went 14, 15, and what were the other three?
16, 17, and 18.
To move them up?
Up, so that they were the medium priority ones. But so I had 7, 8, 9, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 as the second level.
Well, Madam Chair, I'd agree with what's been said to a great degree already. 14 and 15 were the two that I was most concerned about moving up. One, because 14 is pretty vital to some smaller communities, rural communities, and that revolving fund needs to be maintained for that. I think you're thinking the same way. 15, some of this money is for above and beyond what's required by law, and there are those who argue that it's required by law, you shouldn't be rewarded for doing it, but I would disagree, and I think of the plant in Toledo as a good example of a plant that is recycling waste paper, producing tremendously good jobs in that community. We probably recover more in revenue from taxes than we lose in credits, and it keeps that community viable. And it's made pretty clear to us if this program isn't available, that plant closes. And that's just one good example of this money being used properly. So I would certainly agree with moving 14 and 15 up. And I moved fairly high, like as you have, around 9 or 10. The redistribution of the other programs, as Representative Krupp has talked about, I have no problem with. It's really difficult for me to look at these things and say they're all kind of a weave. Mm-hmm. This is better than the other, and if people feel strong enough to move some of those, I have no problem with that. I just want to be sure that we protect 14 and 15. That's the ones I'm most concerned about. I don't want those to be lost.
Chair. Stephanie, is 16, you said, where some of your debt service was?
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, for the record, Stephanie Halleck, the Director of DEQ. The general fund that you see shown in item 16 is for debt service. That's correct.
Okay, anybody have any other issues? Senator Shields, have you got anything you want to ask?
Well, I'll tell you, I spent the whole way to Portland and back, and actually had my wife driving me and was able to look over these again. And I wasn't ready to say this yesterday, but as I listen to us doing this, it seems like there's a lot of subjectivity in what we're doing. I mean, when you get past public safety and economic development as two criteria, it seems to me, and I say this respectfully, respecting our efforts, it seems to me that we don't have a lot of objective scientific criteria for making the decisions to move one thing, you know, one place or something else somewhere else. And so I hesitate to second guess much beyond the public safety economic development issues in arranging things. I mean, if I do, it'd be my opinion. You know, Representative Krupp would have his opinion, and, you know, Senator Nelson would have, maybe he'd have his opinion, he says. But I'm serious about this. I understand that the co-chairs are trying to get at something here. I certainly don't want to see us think that we're arranging things in such a way that we can come up with some kind of magic line, and anything that doesn't make it to that line is automatically cut or something like that. I think we've got to really do some serious work to find the kind of cuts that we're going to ultimately make in budgets, and I don't necessarily find reason very often to change what the various departments have brought forward. I mean, there'll be some occasions, especially around public safety. For me, maybe that'll frustrate some of you, but that would come in ahead of economic development. Anyway.
So, we're all first page.
And Madam Chair, it sounds to me like there was some pretty good consensus to go ahead and even keep 7, 8, and 9 at roughly the same place. And then to move at least 14 and 15 up behind number 9, it sounded like that's what Senator Bates was talking about.
Okay.
And I think that's, I heard, again, under the idea of economic development. So that would mean that 14 would be 10, and 15 would be a number 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think this is, at least that's as far as I've heard of the consensus piece. There was the others you talked about, 16, 17, and 18, on the economic development and how those might rank with
under
some of the other 15, areas.
After, which is now 10.
Okay. So that'd be 15 be 11, so just keep going down this way.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So 13, 14.
And then pick up number 11 as 15.
Or number 10.
Number 10. Excuse me.
15. And then go down the line from there.
Yeah.
Is that?
Does anybody have any heartburn over doing that? Senator Shields, are you just flipping your pencil around?
Oh, excuse me. I was thinking, however, I realize I arrived late. Representative Krupp was talking about the importance of number 12, I guess, saying that it's still the number one cause of air pollution in Oregon, and I was wondering where that meant that came down, given your system.
Senator, right now that would be the second to the last item on the list. It would be number 18. Or, excuse me, number 17.
Mm-hmm.
So, Senator, do you want to move that one up higher in the...
Well, I was kind of reflecting and wondering where that...
So how about if we put that one in before the tanks? Would that work?
That's fine.
15, man.
So now I have number 10 would be 16, 11 would be 17, and 12 would be 15.
Any other discussion? Representative Schultz.
I mean, like number 12, the original number 12. Mm-hmm. I'm just... We're at that. We're back to it doesn't have any general fund, so really, what are we doing? Kind of thing for me, you know. And I mean, we're not going to move any money out of number 12. I don't think we can if we wanted to. So the initial ranking at 17 may have been illogical. I don't want to cause. I'm fine with what we have, Madam Chair. I'm just trying to get this reasoned out in my own head.
There's no reason to.
Well, I mean, and it leads me back to Commissioner Director Shatterly's budget. If we put the director's office second to the last and it goes to the full, are they going to say, well, this isn't their priority, take money out of there, put it in some other great program, and then Lane has a problem dealing with all these 37 claims? That's just hypothetical. But that's my concern about what we're doing here.
Well, and I think that what you need to consider here is that this is just the first time that we're doing this, and that we'll be revisiting these several times from several different perspectives to make sure that the priority ranking that we have in place makes sense from the point of view of the mission of the agency and the agency effectively fulfilling that mission. So there, I think sounding like a broken record here, that we are really needing a place to push off from to have a more focused and detailed discussion around these things.
And Madam Chair, it's a great learning experience for me, and I want to kind of echo what Senator Shields said. I mean, Director Halleck came into my office this morning, and I looked at her stuff, and I go, who am I to question you? I believe her, you know, and I... But my concern, I don't have to say it again, is I don't want to send the wrong message to anybody thinking, you know, and have something happen that I didn't want to have happen. But I guess that's why they pay us all this great money.
Let me say, Representative Schultz, that when we walk out of this building, whenever that may be, I will guarantee that you'll know a lot more about these programs at that point in time.
I'm confident that. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, if I have no further discussion, then I will say that we've reached consensus on this one, and I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 5026, and that concludes the business that we have today. We get together tomorrow. We have the Department of Agriculture, the Forestry Department, and the Water Resources Department. So if there's no further business...
Question. I have kind of discussions going on here. I notice this is the one agency of all the ones that work in this thing that really relies upon the Oregon benchmarks. I have kind of 11 out of 17 or whatever that are tied to it. And I know that my good staff has said, well, we're not really going to Oregon benchmarks. But my sense is the Oregon benchmarks are based upon a fallacy. There isn't true, it isn't working. It's based upon Oregon shines, and they have the circle of prosperity. Well, we're in this crisis because the circle of prosperity is broken. It just seems to me that if it's broken, we're following the wrong things, and we're looking for love in all the wrong places. And so, thank God. So where's that song coming from, Madam Chair?
Well, the circle will be unbroken.
Tomorrow we have forestry, and they have 92 little boxes. I am not going to rank them. I'm going to let the wisdom do it.
I got leery on looking at them.
I got to looking at that. I mean, it looks to me like a bunch of them should have been lumped together. I mean, they've got the toilet paper separated from the paper clips.
overdone.
Overdone. Okay. Well, let's get together tomorrow and talk that one over. And I do appreciate your comments, Senator Nelson, on the benchmarks. I think that we've gotten into some pretty interesting discussions, particularly in the joint interim audit committee around how there almost needs to be three sets of benchmarks. There needs to be some way to communicate to the public. There needs to be something that we can use in this process. And then there needs to be something that agencies can use.
Well, my sense is it says we will create enough revenue for public services.